Support for Reporting on Technology and Innovation comes from Juna Sleep System. Personalize your mattress. More information at junasleep.com.
Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. It's one of the most pressing questions in science today, and the University of South Dakota is on the forefront. The research involves the search to explore and define dark matter. You can learn more at a Dark Matter Day symposium tonight at USD. We're joined now by USD Professor Dongming Mei for more. Welcome, sir.
Thank you for having me.
All right, let's talk first about Dark Matter Days at USD. What can people expect?
Well, Dark Matter Day actually is the world day that will celebrate the historical hunt for Einstein, something that scientists refer to as dark matter. So globally, regionally, and local events are being planned on and around that day by institutions and individuals looking to engage you. The Dark Matter Day. So USD is organizing an event in response to this activity. So we have a team organized by Department of Physics, and in particular that the outreach community led by Yang Showmaker, and also two speakers today are Professor Zhu Sander and myself. So we will explain to audience and the evidence of dark matter and how to detect them.
All right, let's talk about what it even is. What are we searching for, and why is it such a big deal in science right now?
Dark matter basically is a very interesting missing matter in universe. And the observation began more than 80 years ago. And they actually have led to some contemporary and shock, the revelations that more than 80% of the matter in the universe is something that we never seen before. So this actually caught the global attention that people need to try to understand what is made of dark matter and how they actually impact evolution of the universe. So in South Dakota, particularly, we are actually very enthusiastic about searching for dark matter because we do have an underground laboratory in west part of South Dakota, which is Sanford Underground Research Facility. We have a dedicated team there. They work very hard to build a world-class facility which allow the most scientific experiment to be built there.
So take me back a little bit, because you're saying that, you know, it's missing matter in the universe. 80 years, how did people find out about it in the first place? What did scientists see that made them sort of hypothesize that there was something unseen in the universe?
Well, that's actually is a very long story. So beginning almost 80 years ago, the scientists began to find that the rotational, the curve, if we look at the rotational velocity of galaxies, and as a function of distance from center of a galaxy, actually is not does not follow the gravitational law predicted by the scientists 300 years ago. So we found out that actually the distribution is quite flat, and the prediction would indicate that at the center of the galaxy, so the stars actually move faster than the stars distributed at the edge of the galaxies. If we say it's only one galaxy, of course, in the universe as a whole, we have many galaxies there. So people have measured this kind of a rotational curve versus distance of center to the edge of the galaxy. For many galaxies, we found there is a flat distribution there. So we have to take into account dark matter in order to explain these measured effects.
And how much progress has been made in the last 80 years, or even in the last 10 years, to try to define our understanding of what dark matter is?
Well, as far as I know, we have been exploring underground experiments for more than 30 years. There's a lot of effort have been put into this area. Now, many scientific experiments has been going on in the world. In the recent 10 years, the most scientific experiments actually are using liquid xenon detectors, like a large underground xenon experiment at CERV is one of them. Of course, we have the other experiment in Gran Sasso, Italy. It's called Xenon Wontan. These two experiments gave us the most scientific results for searching for dark matter. And I also have one more Xenon experiment in China, which is in China Jinping Underground Laboratory. In addition, we have a germanium-based experiment that's called a supercity mass. This experiment actually is complementary to Xenon experiment, and it also shows the best results for the lower mass dark matter searches.
So the germanium detector, am I saying that correctly?
Yes, a germanium detector.
Okay. And so that's, tell me more about that and sort of how it is a global effort.
Okay, germanium detector is a detector that actually does have very good energy resolution. It's excellent energy resolution, and it's because we so-called the band gap is small, and compared to the other scintillation detectors. So per energy deposition there, it would create more electron hole pair. So that's why you can see a better energy resolution, which is particularly important for low energy, we so-called a detection threshold. But then if you try to detect dark matter, then you want to understand, you know, how low your threshold is going to be. That actually referring to how low the mass you can detect for dark matter. So germanium detector does have very good energy resolution, and also that germanium detector can provide excellent discrimination against background. For example, nuclear recoil events is what we actually expect from dark matter interaction with ordinary matter. However, that there are dramatic backgrounds from electron recoil events induced by radioactivity and things like that surrounding your experiment. You need to have a very good background discrimination against this kind of thing. But germanium detector does provide excellent discrimination in terms of discriminating any type of the backgrounds.
So are you looking for interaction with matter? Are you looking with the matter that we recognize? Or are you looking for something, you know, beyond that?
We're looking for the interaction between dark matter and ordinary matter. So we assume there is a neutral weak interaction between the incoming dark matter and the ordinary matter, which will produce a very weak signal in the detector.
Interesting. And how many different scientists across the globe, across the world, are you really working with on this same, you know, the germanium detector, for example, and that same problem?
Yeah, for worldwide, we actually have built a partnership international research and education consortium, which included several international partners from Max Planck Institute in Germany, and the partners from Tsinghua University in China, and also partners from Taiwan and also Canada, and together with the other seven institutions in United States, University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and also Texas A&M, and University of Minnesota, Twins University, and also Black Hills State University, and Tennessee Tech University, and UC Berkeley. We working with USD together, we actually build a strong international consortium to try to develop the new germanium detectors, which would allow us to detect dark matter toward the even more the lower mass in terms of the scale of dark matter.
So in my imagination, there's an actual device in Vermilion that you're using to do some of this research. Am I imagining it correctly? And
Yes, you are right. We do have a facility here that help us to develop most sensitive germanium detectors. The first is called a zone finding facility, which allow us to purify germanium down to 13 nines, which is the purest materials you can produce in the world. Now we use this zone finding ingots to grow a crystal that actually can produce most sensitive germanium detector in the world. That's why USD was able to lead this international consortium, now work with world-class facility and world-class expertise to build the last generation germanium detectors in order to detect the dark matter.
All right, so growing a crystal, and then what does that do for the research?
So growing a crystal is necessary to build the germanium detectors. So however, okay. Growing a crystal is not an easy thing because you have to make sure that you grow the most significant good crystal in order to make a detector.
Right, because I can go to the toy store and buy one of those little kits that says grow a crystal.
Right,
and it's
right.
Totally different, right?
That's right. You can go to your store to buy a crystal, you see that's a crystal. But usually the requirements for to be a detector, that crystal must be very, very pure. And also structure must be very, very good in terms of single crystal.
So you have students that come to your lab just for this work? Are they really excited to participate in this research that has a pretty big potential?
Yes, we do. We do have many students, they come to our laboratory, work on zone finding and crystal growth. We actually offer a scholarship opportunity to undergraduate students across the entire state and also in, from the other institutions in the country. They come to our laboratory, work on zone finding, and also work on the detector development and the crystal growth in our laboratory.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Professor May from the University of South Dakota. You can see Dark Matter Days. There's a symposium tonight at USD. And Professor May, I'm wondering about how quickly an advancement has the potential of happening. Is this the sort of thing where you really could walk in the lab one day and have a huge breakthrough? Or is this something that happens just piece by piece by piece? Everybody shares information, and that's how the scientific progress happens.
Wow, this is a fantastic question. Actually, you're right. This is a very slow process. Then you do one thing at a step. Then you keep working on it. Then you build piece by piece and then put them together. Then do an integrate the whole project. Then you do a test. And then you verify it works as what you predicted. Then you have to build it to the underground. Then everything has to work correctly in order to detect the dark matter.
And then everybody throughout the world is doing their own little piece of this research too, and you're coming together and sharing that data?
Yes, that's actually exactly right. For example, we build the experiment at a CERF, which we call a LOX experiment. It's quite famous, and because it has leading dark matter experiment for the last 5 or 6 years in the world. But we know that every institution has to contribute their expertise to build a piece of the equipment, and then we have to bring all those pieces together, and then we assemble it at the CERF, and we do an experiment that way.
This is exciting for me to even learn about, and I'm understanding, you know, a fraction of the actual science here. What excites you about your job?
Well, it's a job. Basically, of course, it's very exciting. So we are exciting is because the dark matter, we've been put together a lot of effort. We think that we are about to make a breakthrough so that we actually can discover this mystery. And also, we have a wonderful opportunity to integrate our excellent young scientists like students and postdocs and also expertise in the world together to do science at CERF. That's what this excitement about.
The University of South Dakota Department of Physics hosts Dark Matter Day. It's a symposium on USD's research into dark matter. That's today, 6:30 Patterson Hall, 117. You can see lectures by Professors Joel Sander and Dong Min May. Thank you so much for being with us today, Professor May.
Thank you.
I almost forgot to mention there's dark matter candy following the talk. So always, you know, show up for the candy as well.